want to give you just, we're going to keep this short this morning, because I really have to keep it short this morning. I want to give you an example of some young men and that had a huge life change. Now, they didn't graduate from high school. In fact, what happened to these young men is that their country was conquered, and they basically were taken from their country and taken to a foreign country. We're going to be looking at the first chapter of Daniel, and we're going to be looking at four gentlemen here. Now, we don't know exactly what their age was, but according to the text, they were youth. They were young, and they were, it says that there was no defect, they were good looking, that they showed all kinds of intelligence in every branch of wisdom, and they went out with understanding, discerning knowledge, and had the ability to serve, you know. So anyway, we're talking about you guys, you know, because it sounds just like you guys, right? Right, you know, intelligent, good looking, no defect. Yeah, that's you. That's without a doubt, that's who they were. But anyway, the date was 605 BC. And the setting for this story, it kind of began in Jerusalem, but it ended up in Babylon. And what had happened is that the king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon waged war against Jerusalem and the nation of Judah and overthrew the kingdom. It was dark days for the nation of Israel. And they took Jehoiakim, who was the king of Judah, and they took him to Babylon, deported him basically. And one of the things that they also did, and, you know, of course, they would take the spoils of the land. And it said that they took some of the treasures out of the temple. And also, they took some of the choice young people of the land. So, and they would take them to Babylon, and they would train them to serve in the king's court. So that's kind of the setting of our story. So if you can kind of put yourself in the story, just think for some odd reason, our country falls to another country. And our president is deported. And they come in and they're going to pick the prime people, young people, so that they can take them to a foreign land and make them serve. And I'm sure all three of you guys would have disappeared because they would have taken you over there because, you know, we think you're quality, and I'm sure they would have thought that you were quality too. And so, anyway, we look at these four guys, and we look at what had transpired in their life. First of all, their country was conquered. Their king was deported. These young people were taken to a foreign country. They went from being privileged young people. Now, these were the rulers of in Jerusalem. They were their offspring. They were, you know, it could have even been one of them. Could have been the son of the king of Judah at this time. And so here, these kids were being treated, you know, because they were privileged kids. They, you know, they probably had their own camel and their, you know, for transportation, their own chariot or whatever. And they're taken to Babylon, where the idea is they go from being privileged to being servants, because that's what they're going to be. They're not going to be the leaders in Judah. They're going to be servants in Babylon. So it's a tough time for these gentlemen. We probably should introduce you to the four amigos here, and I call them the four amigos, not to be confused with the three amigos, because this is not Chevy Chase, Martin Short, and who's the other one? Steve Martin. How could I forget Steve Martin? And I'm not recommending that movie, and I'm not saying go watch it. It was funny. But anyway, and no, I'm not going to do the motions. But Pastor Steve said, are you going to do the motions? No, not going to do the three amigo motions. So anyway, if you guys want to come up and do it, that's fine. There's three of you. You know what those motions are? Have you seen the movie? Yeah, don't admit it, though. Your folks are here. Anyway. You know, our four heroes of our story, and I'm going to call them heroes because they really are. Verse 6, it says, now among Adam, I'm jumping all over again, but verse 6, Dan, chapter 1, now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the commander of the officials assigned them new names. To Daniel, he assigned the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, it's interesting that in the book of Daniel, evidently Daniel, who wrote this book, didn't like his given name because he always calls himself Daniel. But he refers from this point on to the other three as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those are the names that I know them by. And so we're going to look at them. And the reason that I picked this passage of Scripture, because in some ways it's similar to what's going to happen to you guys. Now, you're not going into slavery. Well, Jared, maybe you are going into the military, you know, but you are going to be leaving home. You're going to be going to places where probably no one knows you, or knows little of you, or knows anything about you, and it's going to be in unfamiliar surroundings. It's going to be in an unfamiliar place or city. You know, so there are some big similarities between these four and you three as you set out on your life. Now, one of the things that you have going for them, unfortunately, they didn't, is they were forced to learn a new language and a new culture. They had their names changed, and just basically their whole life was turned upside down. So they were at a crossroad in their life, just like you guys are. And just like all of us face from time to time. I'm just not talking to them because this applies to all of us. You know, we face crossroads in our life all the time. And we have to make decisions. What are we going to do? Well, you look at this situation, and here you have these four guys, and they're taken to a foreign land, and everything is different. And one of the things that is involved with their training, they're going to be trained for 3 years, is also the king wants them fat and happy, or at least fat. Because he assigns them his food. They were going to eat of the food of the king's table. Now, you're probably with me that, hey, that sounds like a pretty good idea. You have the king's eating pretty well. You know, I can just imagine, I can smell the pork roast. Oh, it smells so good, and gravy, and potatoes, and biscuits. All those things, I'm trying to make you hungry. I do. I really do that well. The thing is, it makes me hungry too. Anyway, you say, well, at least that's a good thing. It wasn't a good thing. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they committed themselves to God when they were in Jerusalem. And they were following the ways of the Lord. And one of those rules that they couldn't break was they couldn't eat food that was unclean, or they couldn't eat food that had been offered to idols. Now, oftentimes in the foreign countries, the food that the king ate was the food that people brought to the different idols and gods that they served. And so that food then would go into the palace and the king would eat. Well, this was forbidden for the Jews to do this. And even though their life had literally been turned upside down, they made a commitment to God, and they didn't want to break that commitment. And if we look at Daniel chapter 8, we see that they had a resolve. And this is one of the things that I want to encourage you guys in, is resolve to stay with the Lord. Make it your desire in whatever goes on to stay with the Lord. Now, these guys had every reason, really, to not. I look at this and I think, you know, I might have been kind of a little bit mad at God. Because here I am, I'm in his nation with his people, and our nation gets conquered, I get taken out, I get put into service, I have to learn, they change my name, all this kind of stuff. They had the opportunity to say, you know what, I gave God his chance, and he blew it. He didn't take care of me. But that wasn't true. And these guys never looked at it that way. They just looked at it as another chapter in their life and another opportunity for them to show other people who God was. They didn't want to eat the food. And so in verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1, it says, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself." This is a pretty gutsy move for an exile. This is a pretty big gutsy move for a kid who gets, you know, and it's almost like saying, you know, you get thrown into a candy store and you say, "My mother said I will not eat candy, and I will not eat candy." Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I would have eaten candy. You know, because all of a sudden, everything's out the window. And yet Daniel resolved. He made up his mind. And I want to encourage you, make up your minds now. Don't wait till you get to your school. Don't wait till you get to where you're going. Make up your mind now that I am going to serve the Lord. Now, they had to make choices their entire life. In Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make the choice not to worship an idol made by Nebuchadnezzar. And the punishment for not doing what Nebuchadnezzar said was death. In particular, death by fire, thrown into a furnace. Well, they would not do it. And Nebuchadnezzar even gave them a second chance, but they would not bow down because, again, it was against what they believed. It was against what God would have wanted them to do. So they didn't do it. And I love what they say to King Nebuchadnezzar in verse 18 of Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to go back to 17. They say, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." So basically they're saying, "King, I don't care what you say, we're not going to do it. Because we believe that God can deliver us." But the next statement is the one that gets me, and always gets me. Verse 18 says, "But even if he does not, let it be known, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden idol that you have set up." How many of us here, adults, can say that? Wait a second. I know that God can save me. I know that he can rescue me. But even if he doesn't, if it's not in his will that he do that, I am still going to stay with the Lord. Now, there may be coming a time in not just your guys' life, but in our lives as adults, when we might have to make a decision that is going to hurt us. We might have to decide to abstain from something that is going to hurt us. We may get into a time, and I hope we never do, where to be a Christian may not be a favored thing, but may actually be counted against us, and to take a stand for Jesus Christ may cause us pain, may cause us punishment or suffering. Are we ready to say, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, you know, our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, I am not going to yield. I am not going to give in. And then again, later on in the book of Daniel, Daniel himself, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, this was after the new king, Darius, made a proclamation that no one could pray to anyone but his God, or to him. And Daniel was in the habit of praying three times a day, and even after this was made, this is what Daniel did in verse 10. He says, now Daniel knew that the document was signed. He entered his house, now on his roof chamber, and had the window open towards Jerusalem. And it's on the next page. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before God as he had been doing previously. There was an edict in the land, you will not pray to anything but our God. Daniel can't do that. He's got to pray to his God. And he did not hide his prayers. He got up on the roof, he opened his window, people could see him. They knew that he's doing it, they knew it was his habit, because that's why they get the law in the first place, is to get rid of Daniel. And he continued to do it. And what happened? Well, he got thrown in the lion's den. Did God rescue him? Yes, he did. He wrote the book of Daniel considerably after this time. So, take a stand. I just want to encourage you. Take a stand for God. I know you guys, and I've seen you in church, I've seen you in Awana, and I've seen you in Sunday school classes, I've seen you at camp. You know, you guys know who God is. And you know the Lord. I know you have a relationship with the Lord. Hang on to that. Put that first in your life. And if you do that, and again, look at the passage of Scripture that I wanted to leave you with is Proverbs 3:5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And the next verse is that the Lord will make your path straight. He will lead you in the direction that he wants you to go. So they resolved not to defile themselves with the king's food. Well, they didn't just resolve not to do it. Because what were they going to do then? Okay, we're going to go on a hunger strike. We're not going to eat. No, that wasn't their plan. They had a plan, and this is another thing I want to encourage you with. Don't just wait till you get to school to figure out what your plan is as far as God is concerned. Plan it now. Think ahead. You know, where am I going? What town am I in? Go on the internet. Look up that town. Look up places of worship. Find a church that's there. Look up that if you're going to now Jared, I know you're not going to a school yet and stuff, but wherever you go, there are churches, wherever you go, or there are chapels, or there are Bible studies. Get involved and plan. Think about it in advance, what you're going to do. They planned. They had a plan. See, the commander didn't want to do this because his neck was on the line. If Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked scrawny at the end of the period, the king would not be mad at them, he would be mad at the commander. And so they had a plan. They said, hey, what about this? Just for a week now, you feed us vegetables. Just vegetables. And at the end of the week, you see if we're better or worse than anyone else. Well, the results were that, hey, they were better. They were healthier. They looked better. Now, there are those who, again, I just love the way people grab things out of the Bible and turn them into some sort of a routine that you do. Have you ever heard about the Daniel diet? There's the Daniel diet, you know, where you don't eat anything but vegetables for a certain period of time, and it will cleanse your body and it will make you closer to God. Well, it may cleanse your body, but unless your intent is to be closer to God, actually, fasting will do the same thing. And it's something that it talks about a lot in the Bible, is fasting. So this was not a plan for all of us. This was a plan for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the thing that we already see God working, because it says that God gave Daniel favor in the eyes of the commander. He says, I agree, I will do this. And as a result, they were healthier, they were better. And so they did this thing for 3 years. They just ate vegetables because they wanted to honor God. And the thing that we see is at the end of this time, the end of Daniel chapter 16, we see what God did for them. Verse 17, it says, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. God blessed them for their stand that they took. And I know that God will bless you guys if you take that stand when you go to school or when you go to the military or when you get into work. God will bless you if you take that stand to honor Him. And it's the same thing for all of us. God will bless us. Not that He's going to make us rich or famous or anything else, but He will bless us. He will care for us if we honor Him and commit ourselves only to Him and choose not to defile ourselves or not to go the ways of the world. Because again, the Bible is just time and time and time and time again. It says, honor God, God takes care of you. Trust in God, God takes care of you. Trust in God, God blesses you. Trust in God, God leads your way. It's just a theme that recurs over and over and over again. And I just want to encourage you. Eat your vegetables. I mean, that's a good thing that they said. The vegetables are good for you. But the one thought that I want to leave you with is, you know, you're going into, I can't tell you what you're going into, because I can't predict the future. But you're leaving home. You're leaving mom and dad. You're going to go into a foreign place. And you know, Taylor, I know that Corbin is a Christian school. But you'll find out that there's a lot of temptation at Corbin. A lot of it. Any Christian school, anywhere, there's a lot of temptations. So we need to make the choice to honor God and to stay with Him. And I want to challenge you with that. Honor God. Plan now. How can I do that? How can I stay true to God? Well, you're going to need help. You can't do it alone. You're going to need, we talked about it in our class this morning, you're going to need an Aaron and a Hur to hold your arms up sometimes and to intercede for you. And of course, mom and dad are going to be doing that for you. And aunts and uncles and cousins and grandmas and grandpas and our church family will be doing that for you too. But make a plan and stick to it. And honestly, you honor God, God will take care. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these four men that took a stand. And Lord, you did take care of them and you honored them. And you blessed them, and you used them, not for their honor and glory, but for your honor and glory. Father, I pray for these three here and for our college graduates, Lord, that as they enter into new stages of their lives, Lord, they would put you first, that they would make a plan of how they can stay strong in you. And Father, I do pray your richest blessings upon them, and that you would lead them in their lives, and that you would use them for your honor and glory. But Father, I pray that for us too, because each day is, in some respects, a crossroad for us. And we need to make that decision. Are we going to honor God? Are we going to go our own way or the way of the world? Father, help us to stay strong and to honor you, knowing that you will meet our needs and that you will take care of us if we give ourselves to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.